Śrīmad-Bhāgavatam, second canto, chapter 9, entitled Answers by Citing the Lord's Version. Text 14. So I'll read text 14 on my own, and then we will recite the text 15 together. Translation for text 14. The goddess of fortune in her transcendental form is engaged in the loving service of the Lord's lotus feet, and being moved by the black bees, followers of spring, she is not only engaged in variegated pleasure service to the Lord, along with her constant companions, but she is also engaged in singing the glories of the Lord's activities. Text 15 now. So translation and purport by Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Lord Brahma saw in the Vaikuntha planets the personality of Godhead, who is the Lord of the entire devotee community, the Lord of the goddess of fortune, the Lord of all sacrifices, and the Lord of the universe, and who is served by the foremost servitors like Nanda, Sunanda, Prabala, and Arhana, his immediate associates. Purport by Śrīla Prabhupāda, Prabhupāda ki jai. When we speak of a king, it is naturally understood that the king is accompanied by his confidential associates, like his secretary, private secretary, aide-de-camp, ministers, and advisors. So also, when we see the Lord, we see him with his different energies, associates, confidential servitors, etc. So the Supreme Lord, who is the leader of all living entities, the Lord of all devotees, so the Lord of all devotee sects, the Lord of all opulences, the Lord of sacrifices, and the enjoyer of everything in his entire creation, is not only the supreme person, but also is always surrounded by his immediate associates, all engaged in the loving transcendental service to him. Śrīla ki jai. Om. Ajñānati mirāndasya jñānañjana shalākaya chakṣurun militam yena tasmai śrī gurave namaha śrī caitanya manobhishtam stāpitam yena bhūtale Svayam rupah kadamayam dadati svapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru, Shri Yutapada Kamalam, Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Raghunathan Mitam, Tams Jivam, Sadavaitam, Savadutam, Parijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padan, Sahagana Lalita, Shri Vishakans Mitavsha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho, Dina Bandho Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So my humble obeisance is to all the assembled devotees and everybody online. Please pray that I can say something useful in today's verses, and in the process purify my heart and my speech. So the context, let's see how we got here, because we've gone past the weekend, so maybe we've forgotten what we discussed on Friday. So in the previous chapter 8, Parikshit Maharaj asked various questions to Shukadev Goswami. Questions were, tell us about the Lord and the Jiva, Kala and Karma, details of the universe, the Yugas, what is the conclusion of the Vedas, Upavedas, Itihas and Puranas. Then anybody know what Upaveda is?
It's like Ayurveda.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. These are like traditional technical literature, like you say, Ayurveda, Dhanurveda as well. Yes, Astra Veda, like that. So all these questions were asked, and Shukadev Goswami is actually answering the questions over many, many chapters and cantos of the Bhagavatam. But in this chapter, verses 1, 2, and 3, he answers the questions about how the jiva attains the body. We went through that in the last few days. In verses 4 to 8, he describes how Lord Brahma couldn't trace the source of the lotus and could not understand the proper direction for creation. So he's sitting on this lotus flower. You can imagine there's a picture there where it's there coming out of the abdomen of Lord Vishnu. And apparently, although in that picture it looks quite bright, but apparently it's quite dark. It's pitch black. He can't see anything. And he's sitting there completely confused, not knowing what to do. Can't switch on the light, has got no torch, no candles. Complete darkness. So in that situation, he can't make any sense of anything. Obviously, then he decides, no, he hears the words three times, the two syllables, da, ba, da, ba. The bur. No, that's afterwards. First, he actually decides to go and find out for himself, doesn't he? He goes down the stem of the lotus. Now, this stem is huge. Imagine, this stem actually, eventually, that's a stem that Lord Brahma will divide into 3 and then 14 again. So that's the whole planetary system. So he's climbing down all that way, coming, trying to find out where, because he thought, if I come to the source of this lotus, I can make sense of it. So His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj once explained in a class that he went quite close. He was almost to the bottom. But somehow he decided to, maybe I'm not getting anywhere, so he started to go up. And he says this proves that endeavor alone is not sufficient for us to find the absolute truth. You need the mercy. So then he went back up onto the lotus. He sat down, heard the tapa, and went into meditation. Tapa, penances for 1,000 celestial years. And then that, of course, invoked the mercy of the Lord. And the Lord then gives him the darshan of the Vaikuntha planet. So this is where we are now. In the current section, this current section 9 to 18. This is Lord Brahma's darshan of the Vaikuntha planets, which the Lord granted to him by being pleased with him. So in recent classes, just a few days, we heard about the goddess. No, we heard about how beautiful the planet itself is. We spoke about the inhabitants, how bright they were, beautifully dressed. We heard about the shining planes, which were not operated by a mechanical way. It was just, spiritual planes and everything. We heard all about that. And now, these two verses, we are actually, Lord Brahma is seeing the Supreme Lord and his associates. So very, very sweet verses, these two. Short purport, usually when it's a long purport, I like to go through the purport line by line, really trying to get deeper into Prabhupada's sort of teaching. When there's a short purport, I just try and maybe look at a couple of themes and then focus on that. So the two themes I thought about here. Firstly, the supreme absolute truth is a person. That comes out clearly here. He's never alone. He's always surrounded by his associates, energies, and servitors. So in the 14th verse, just a reminder, the translation goes, the goddess of fortune in her transcendental form is engaged in the loving service of the Lord's lotus feet. She is not only engaged in variegated pleasure, service of the Lord, along with her constant companions, but also engaged in singing the glories of the Lord. So you can see there's the Lord and there is associates and servitors around. This is Lakshmi Devi herself with her associates serving the Lord. We see the picture, the famous picture many times, Lakshmi Devi at the feet of the Lord. Similarly, in the Brahma Samhita, we hear the descriptions of Lord Krishna in Goloka being served. Brahma Samhita 5.29. Chintamani prakara satma sukalpa vriksha laksha vritesha surabhira vipalayantam lakshmi sahasra satasam brahma sevyamanam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. So here, I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the first progenitor, who is tending the cows, fulfilling all desires, in abodes built with spiritual gems and surrounded by millions of desire trees, is always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. So, of course, Prabhupada explains that here the goddess of fortune, referring to the gopis, they're as good as Lakshmis. So you can see both places, the Lord is not alone. He's a person and he's got a lot of activities happening around him. And Prabhupada begins the purport by saying that just as a king, if a king was going around, he would not be alone. He would have his secretaries, bodyguards, etc., etc. So similarly, the Supreme Personality of God is never alone. Even when the Prime Minister, for example, I remember when David Cameron came here, when we were doing the foundation, putting the foundations for the Haveli. Even before he came, there was a whole team that came to just, you know, sort out the place, make sure that the place was safe and everything was ready for him. And then he came with a group of bodyguards and police, things like this. So, like that. So he served by the foremost servitors like Nanda, Sunanda, Prabala, and Arhana, his immediate associates. So Nanda Sunanda, I mentioned various places. I haven't found much information about Arhana and Prabala. Nanda Sunanda mentioned, they were mentioned most famously in Dhruva Maharaj's pastimes. So Dhruva Maharaj, when, of course, he got the darshan of the Lord when he was 5 years old. And when he saw the Lord, he decided, I don't want anything. I'm happy with just your darshan. But the Lord knew his wishes, so he said, no, I will give you a kingdom that you wanted, greater than your grandfather. And the Lord gave him the Dhruvaloka planet. No, sorry, that's afterwards. Before that, he said, you can rule your father's kingdom for 36,000 years. So after that time, when it was time for him to go back to Dhruvaloka, that's when this plane comes, the transcendental plane arrives, and the two associates of the Lord who come out of the plane are Nanda and Sunanda. So this is described in the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam, 12th chapter. And in that chapter, there's beautiful descriptions of these two personalities. Really, really sort of beautifully dressed, opulently dressed, just like the description of Lord Vishnu. And of course, as we know, in the Vaikuntha planets, all the inhabitants have the same features of the Lord. So beautiful descriptions in the fourth chapter there. So, in that text 33 of that 12th chapter, the great associates of Vaikuntha Loka, Nanda and Sunanda, could understand the mind of Dhruva Maharaj, and thus they showed him his, oh yeah, this is the answer, because when Dhruva Maharaj gets on the plane, he gets on the plane, putting his foot on what? He needed a step to get on. This, yeah, death personified. So he gets on the plane. As soon as he gets on the plane, he thinks, oh, I'm going to, you know, back to Godhead. What about my mother? And then at that time, these two, Nanda and Sunanda, show him that your mother's already on the way in the plane ahead. So like that. So Nanda and Sunanda, apparently, I haven't actually found it in the Bhagavatam, but it is said that they're also the two associates who came to save Ajamil from the Yamadutas. There was four of them, and two of them were Nanda and Sunanda, apparently. And then more recently, somebody sent me pictures of beautiful deities of Sananda and Sunanda, which are being placed at the entrance of the TOVP temple at Mayapur. Absolutely beautifully done, those. So we look forward to seeing them in person soon. So Lord is a person. This is the Vaishnava philosophy. The Vaishnava philosophy is the Lord is always a person. But then we have others who accept the Lord as the Paramatma or Brahman, like that. In the Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, text 11, this is clarified that, yes, all these three are legitimate visions of the Lord. None of them is wrong. In that verse, Vadanti tat tatva vidas tatvam yas jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagvaniti shabdate. It's explained that the learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagwan. Same absolute truth seen in three different visions. And of course, in that text, it's explained that yes, the others are partial realizations. The Bhagwan realization is the complete realization. So the purport Prabhupada continues, so the Supreme Lord, who is a leader of all living entities, the Lord of the all devotee sects, the Lord of the Lord of all opulences, the Lord of sacrifices, and the enjoyer of everything in his entire creation, he is not only the Supreme Person, but he is always surrounded by his immediate associates, all engaged in the service. So some philosophies propound that we are gods. Actually, all of us are gods. We just forgotten that because we're covered by Maya. You are God, I am God, he is God, everybody's God. Just when we, by our bhakti, they call it bhakti actually, not really bhakti, but somehow by our penances, when we get rid of the covering of Maya, then we will be gods. We realize that we are gods. So that of course, is a very, very faulty idea. We are never gods. Eternally, we are his part and parcels. Bhagavad Gita 15.7 confirms this. Mamai vamsu jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana mana sashtanyanda nindirani prakritistani karshati. It says, the living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal transcendental parts. Eternal, not sometimes. Due to conditioned life, they're struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. So we're always part and parcels. Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nand ki jai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Gonitai ki jai, Jagat Guru Shri Prabhupada ki jai. So eternally, forever, we are part and parcels of the Lord. The duty of the part and parcel, as example given so many times, if this finger, the duty is part and part. This finger is part and parcel of my body, and the duty of this finger is to serve the body. The finger, if it's cut and put, if it is dismembered, it's useless. It's only useful when it's attached to this. So for all of us, similarly, we are part and parcels, and as long as we remain attached to the Lord in terms of our relationship with him, then we are useful. Otherwise, there is no use. So apart from these different philosophies where they see God in different ways and some think that they themselves are God, this idea of themselves being God used to be very prevalent some years ago in India, maybe not so much nowadays, but there were many, many God men who would claim themselves to be God. So one particular one, the situation was in one time Prabhupada was giving a class in the Sydney Temple. And he was just at the end of the class, he asked for questions. So one person, he puts his hand up, and Prabhupada says, yes. So he stands up and he says, Meher Baba. Meher Baba is God, not Krishna. What do you say about Meher Baba? So Prabhupada looks at him and Prabhupada says, I don't know about these people, but Krishna is God. And then he turns to the deities. I think the deities were, I forget the names of the deities. He turns to the deities and he says, look how beautiful they are. Krishna, then he lifts his hand. Krishna lifted the Govardhan Hill on his little finger of the left hand. He is so wonderful. And he kept looking like that. Then he turned around and he looks at the person and says, "You can have Mary Baba, we'll have Krishna." So this Mary Baba was apparently, I just looked up some details. Apparently he's still, I mean, people still support him. There's still apparently a center somewhere in Knightsbridge where people are still there. It's a small following. If anybody wants the address, I'll... So he was apparently, up to the age of 17, 18, he was a normal person. He was a cricket captain of his school team and everything. And suddenly, around that time, he met an old lady who blessed him, put her hand on his head, and things changed. He suddenly decided he was God. And of course, he was, must have been. See, all these God men, they are very charismatic people, very, very charming people. So that's why they attract a lot of followers. So he attracted a lot of followers, and like I said, they're still around. Another situation was, anybody here came through that cruise 2012? We did the spiritual cruise with Bhakti Choru Maharaj, Radhanath Maharaj. You were there, right? Exactly. So on that cruise, we had the personality called Srinadji Prabhu, Prabhupada's disciple, right? So he was telling us on the cruise at that time that he, when he first met Prabhupada, he used to go and listen to his classes, but he used to follow somebody else at the time. Yeah, I didn't want to mention names, so we don't upset anybody. I'm glad he's not on the microphone, because for that personality also, there's still very, very a lot big followers at the moment. So anyway, so he said, but one time he had a discussion with Prabhupada. He said, "Prabhupada, I'm following so-and-so," and he says he's God. So Prabhupada says to him, "Okay, next time you see him, ask him, tell him that Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill in the little finger of his left hand. Ask him to lift his desk with both his hands, not just little finger, both his hands, and keep it up for 7 minutes. So this Prabhu actually, he says, I actually went to him, to the other person, and said, Swami Prabhupada said this. And this person got really annoyed at him and started to blaspheme him and everything. And at that time he left, and then he became Prabhupada's disciple. And he was he followed Prabhupada right till the end. And in fact, he was Prabhupada when he made one of his last journeys. He was going from a well-to-do family, so they supported the temple financially, as well as the last journey he made. I think Mumbai, going to Vrindavan or whatever. I forget which journey, but it was in his car. He had a big car, and Prabhupada laid in the back seat, so he was driving Prabhupada. So, yeah. So like this, we have so many God people. We have to just be careful that we don't get sidetracked. So now I'm coming to the theme of devotional service. So Bhagavad Gita chapter 12. What's the title of chapter 12 in Sanskrit? Bhakti Yoga. So translation of Bhakti Yoga, you can imagine Prabhupada could have translated is as yoga of worship or yoga of devotion, something like that. But Prabhupada chose to translate it so precisely. Devotional service. Service. Right? So the whole thing is about service. Because all, as I was saying earlier, but these people, even the impersonalists, they call themselves bhakta. But it's wrong. Bhakta. Bhakti needs two people, isn't it? Bhakti needs, the swami and the sevak. You can't have bhakti on your own. So that's why it's the service. Very, very important. This Vaishnava principle of devotional service, Prabhupada actually really nailed it. And gave us this amazing ISKCON Institute so we can all practice devotional service so beautifully. Morning classes, Mangala Arati, morning classes, Tulsi Puja, daily services, and Bhagavad Gita classes. So this is it. We all know we are in the right place. So in the second chapter, first canto, second chapter, there's a beautiful chapter, second chapter of first canto, which is entitled Divinity and Divine Service. And this has got some beautiful verses, and I love all these verses. I've spoken to them about them in these classes before, but I don't mind repeating them, where devotional service is so beautifully described. So firstly, there's deck number 6, 126, which is one of my favorite verses. I probably quoted most of my classes. Savai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhaktir adokshate ahaitukiya pratihata yayatma supasiddhati. Says, that the supreme occupation for all humanity is that by which a person can attain to loving devotional service to the Supreme Lord. And that service should be unmotivated and uninterrupted for it to completely satisfy the self. So this is an instruction. Human birth we've got. The whole purpose is this. Yes, we have duties, as our material duties. Yes, we have to not be neglectful of them. But the main purpose of human life is to develop devotional service. And it has to be unmotivated. Unmotivated meaning not jnana mishra bhakti or, karma mishra bhakti, pure bhakti. That is the aim. Then in the next verse, by the way, this is apratihata. Prabhupada translated as unbroken, uninterrupted. But also is explained, what Prabhupada often says, unchecked, meaning that devotional service is transcendental. It is not checked by anything material. It's only our mind that can stop us because we think that we can't do it. But devotional service, once you put your faith in it, it will just take you with the waves. Next verse, 1-7. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Projita Janayat Yasu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayat Ahaitukam. Again, Ahaituki coming there. By rendering devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. So often people think about detachment. It's very difficult to detach ourselves, our family, children, property, businesses, whatever we may have. Detachment is very difficult. So this is the process here. So by rendering, or we just get involved in devotional service. And when bhakti develops, there are two sons of bhakti. Who are they? Jnana and Vairagya. So if you develop bhakti, automatically jnana, knowledge, and Vairagya, detachment, will come. We don't have to make a separate endeavor for that. Bhakti will bring jnana and Vairagya. Then it's Krishna speaks, Shukadeva Goswami is now going to speak about wasting time. Dharma swanosthita, this is text 8. Dharma swanosthita pamsam vishvakshena kathasuya notpadya yadi radim shamma eva hi kevalam. The occupation duties, activities a man performs according to his own position are only so much useless labor if they don't provoke the attraction to hear the message of the Supreme Lord. So, as I was saying, your duties, your material duties, they are fine. But if you just do those and nothing else, it's a complete waste of time. Many people actually, it's very, very common for Hindus to say, Hinduism is a way of life. Some of my friends say, you don't need to do all this, sitting there for 2 hours chanting and waking up so early and everything, What are you doing? He says, just be a good person. Be a good person, don't harm anybody. That is Hinduism. Be a good Hindu like that. But that is, of course, by being just a good person, maybe you're lucky you get a good birth next time. But, that's not our aim. Our aim is to get out of this cycle of birth and death. So, 1-13. Atha pumbib dvijashreshta varnashama vibhagasa svanutistasya dharmasya samsiddhi haritoshanam. Oh, best of the thrice-born. He's addressing the brahmanas at Naimisharanya, Sutta Goswami. It is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging the duties of prescribed for one's own occupation according to caste divisions and orders of life is to please the personality of Godhead. Then it goes on how to actually start developing devotional service. Text 16 says, Shushushoshadhanasya Vasudeva Kathasuruchi Syan Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punya Tirthana Niveshayat. He says, O twice born Brahmanas, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains the affinity of hearing the message of Vasudev. So we daily sing, right? Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado yasya prasadat nagati kutoki. So why? Only by serving pure devotees, like our spiritual masters, If they are pleased, then Krishna is pleased. Hearing, very important. The first process of the nine process of devotional service is hearing. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, hearing. So 6.17 talks about hearing. Shunvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hidyastasya Padrani Vidunoti Svuhitsatam. Lord Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, the super soul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor and the truthful benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from the heart of devotees who have developed the urge to hear his messages, which are themselves virtuous and virtues when properly heard and chanted. So by hearing, again, we're getting cleansing of our heart. And the very famous verse we sing every day before the class, Nashta Prayasu Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloki Bhakti Bhavati Nastaki. What by what we'll be doing now, by regularly attending classes on Bhagavatam, rendering service to the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to our heart is almost completely destroyed. And the loving devotional service, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is established as an irrevocable fact. Next verse, he again emphasizes it. How, people say, I can't get rid of all my anarthas. How to get rid of the anarthas? Tada rajastamo bhava kama loba dayashaya cheta eter anavidam sthitam satve prasiddhati. As soon as loving devotional service is established within the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart, and the devotee is established in goodness and becomes fully happy. So again, it's only devotional service that can help us get rid of all these anarthas, etc., etc. 1-20. Evam prasanna manaso bhagavata bhakti yogata bhagavata tattva vijnanam mukta sangasa jayate. So when one sometimes is too eager to get into the philosophy and learn so many things, but he said the science of God is automatically revealed to you. He says thus, so when we establish in this mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service, he gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association. And then finally, the verse, not the final verse of the text chapter in this particular theme about the devotional service. How all our anarthas are again finally finished. Bidyate hridaya granthis, chidyante sarva samshaya, kshiyate chasya karmani, drishta evat manishvari. So the knot in the heart is pierced, all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated when one sees the self as the master. So we were taught we are the servants. Just now we went through the first part of this talk about we are the servants, das, das, anudas. So how do we explain this? One who sees the self as a master. Seems to be a contradiction here. Anyone? I know Prabhu will know for sure. So the way I see it, I may be wrong, the way I try and understand it is that I sort of revert back to the verse in Bhagavad Gita, text 342, where the hierarchy is given, that the working senses are higher than the gross matter. The mind is higher than the senses, the intellect is higher than the mind, but higher than that is the soul. So that the soul is the master. So once we know that I am the master, I'm not going to let the senses take me for a ride. So if once you, when the heart, the knot in the heart is pierced, then we realize that I am the soul and I'm not going to be governed by the senses and the intelligence. So that's how I see it. Anyway, there's a few more things we can speak about, but it's past 8:30. So we will stop here. I'll invite any comments, corrections, criticisms, questions. Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah,
Microphone. Anybody got a microphone? You know, whenever I'm part of the team that monitors the streaming in the mornings, and lots of times people think, don't worry, I can hear you. Of course, everybody in the temple room can hear you, but you know, there's about 30, 40 of us here. There's 200 online. And if they can't hear the question, then they're missing out a bit. Not just that, Ram Lakshman Prabhu has done the amazing, very cleverly set this whole system which works automatically on algorithms. And one of them is that if there's silence, either on this mic or on that mic, for more than a few seconds, it'll think the class is over and the holding slide will come on and everybody online will miss out the end of the class. So always make sure that the mic is on and people are speaking on it loudly. Yes, Prabhu.
You said you're going to speak on a few things. You can summarize, or is it hard to summarize it?
Yeah, so no, I was going to basically some of the verses, 1855, Patya Mama Bijanati Yavan Yas Shasmi Tatvata. This is many, many verses actually telling us that devotional service is the only way, the only way, the only way that we can make our way back. So those few things, are some purpose that I put down. 1517, why did I write that? What I put down? Yeah, even if you fall down, 1517 talks about initially you fall down, you remain on the path, and if your success is guaranteed. 640, even if you've done partial devotional service, it's never lost. It's the eternal spiritual bank account. Godrum Prabhu calls it the bank. You know, we have Bank of Baroda, Bank of, you know, Barclays Bank, whatever. So Godrum Prabhu calls it the Bank of Lakshmi Narayan, which is an eternal bank. So all our devotional service, a little bit you've done, remains in that bank forever. You know, not like you can't withdraw from it. It's going to be there. It comes with us life after life. Thank you. You can pass the mic over here, please.
Thank you for a nice class, Prabhu. The verse, Nastaprayasu Bhadveshu, when it says almost removed, why is it almost and not completely?
Good question, yeah. Prayana Alpa. Prayana means almost. So I've had to explain like this, that if we are completely rid of all the anathas, we would not be here. We would be in the spiritual world. So it is said that, you know, when you look at the different stages, even up to the bhava stage, there is a tinge of this anathas is still there. Or actually, you know, I think Bhakti Chandra Maharaj explained that at the bhava stage, it's almost gone. But until the bhava stage, you are still attached to some anathas. It's very subtle, they may be, but they are still there. And as long as they are there, you have not made it yet. That's why it's almost. But then that process, that's the beginning of the process. Devotional service is the beginning, isn't it? And then you get mature in that devotional service, and that's when you get there. So that's my understanding. Prabhu, do you have any thoughts on that? Good. Thank you for the question. Anybody else? Yes, Prabhu. I was going to say, we haven't recently heard a class without a question by Coco at the end, so. Prabhu, yes.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. In text 14, the bees are being spoken about. Lakshmi is being moved by the black bees, followers of spring. Do you have any thoughts?
No, I worked hard. I spent a lot of time trying to look for some references for this, but I could not find anything at all. I'd be speculating if I even started to think about it. It's just so sort of esoteric. Sorry. If anybody had any thoughts on it? Yes, Prabhu. Yes, microphone, please.
I mean, Lakshmi is all good fortune, right?
Yes.
She brings good fortune. So bees are like honeys. They look for the honey, right?
Okay.
So maybe that's why the bees are there. They're
yeah.
Showing how we should look for the good qualities.
Could be one. Yeah, exactly. The bees. And so the black bees, followers of spring. So again, too esoteric for me. Need some Maybe we meet somebody like Kartik Chandra or somebody like that who can explain this to us. Anybody else? Yeah, Prabhu?
I was just doing some Googling, and apparently Brahma Mari is, according to Wikipedia, the Hindu goddess of bees, and she's an incarnation primarily regarded to be a form of Lakshmi in the Pancharatra texts. Yeah, I don't know.
What was the first name you used, Brahma?
Brahma Mari.
Brahma Mari, okay.
Goddess of bees.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, a homework for all of us. We can try and find out. Thank you. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai.